Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. Among the Jewish persecutors of the church in the first century, Saul of Tarsus had made a name for himself. He wrote to the Galatians, "For you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the tradition of my fathers." Galatians 1, 13 and 14. In the Philippian letter, Paul wrote of his zeal in persecuting the church. Philippians 3, 6. He persecuted the church because he thought it was the enemy of God and of the Jewish nation. But he came to understand his grievous error. Obviously, Christians would not have thought of Paul's persecuting the church as a great accomplishment. But the Jews did. They believed they ought to do all within their power to waste the church, to use Paul's expression. Those who were successful in persecuting the church gained great popularity and prestige among the Jews. But Paul knew, after he became a Christian, that his life up until then had been worse than wasted. He had been persecuting the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah of the world. Could he place any confidence in any of his works? Could his standing in the Jewish nation and his success in persecuting the Lord's church bring him any hope for eternity? The answer is a resounding no. Fortunately, Paul had been forgiven of his opposition to the church of the living God. From the time of his conversion to the end of his life, he expressed gratitude for the grace of God in bringing him into the Lord's kingdom. He told the Corinthians, "By the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace was not bestowed upon me in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me." 1 Corinthians 15:10. "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, and a persecutor, and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus." 1 Timothy 1, 12-14. Paul knew he had not lived a perfect life while he attempted to serve God under the law of Moses. But he certainly had tried desperately to do all God expected of him. As touching the righteousness which was by the law, Paul was found blameless. Philippians 3, 6. I've already given you some insight into Paul's devotion to what he considered his duty. He and his family had not made any concessions to the Greek culture surrounding them. They had lived by the strict rules and regulations of the sect of the Pharisees. He was very zealous, striving with all his power to destroy any rivals to the Jewish faith, including the Church of our Lord Jesus Christ. He had lived as blamelessly as a man could. What more could anyone expect of Paul? If a man lives honestly and sincerely before God and man, is that not all that counts? How could anyone fault Paul when he had lived in all good conscience under the Jewish covenant, just as he did under the gospel? My friends, as vital as having a clear conscience is, and important as being honest is, they are not enough. We must live by the gospel, not our consciences. In the Ephesian letter, Paul tells us that all spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1, 3. If we are not in Christ, where all those spiritual blessings are, we are not going to receive them. Reconciliation, redemption, election, and salvation are just some of the spiritual blessings listed in Ephesians. What your background was makes no difference in your salvation. You must obey the gospel. Thank you.